The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments: you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, and honor your father and your mother." But he replied and said to him, "Teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth." Jesus looked at him, and he loved him. And he said to him, "You are lacking one thing. Go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." At that statement, his face fell, for he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." His disciples were amazed at his words, and so Jesus again said to them, "How hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said to themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For men it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." The Gospel of the Lord. This provocative gospel reading requires much more attention than we can give it here in our few moments of homily. The story of the man, the young man coming up to Jesus, is found in all three synoptic gospels. But very clearly, in reading the three gospels, we find that it originates with Mark. As you know, Mark was the earliest of the gospels, and the others were drawn from Mark. Especially Matthew and Luke were drawn from Mark. I know in our Bibles we have Matthew first, but there's a reason for that. But Mark should be the first gospel. It was the earliest. Mark has the longest narrative on this incident with the young man. Matthew merely says, a man comes up to him, kneels down before him and asks him. And Luke tells us that he is a ruler. So put all three together. You have a young man who is rich, powerful, he's a ruler, and there's something missing from his life. He's clearly a very good man. For Jesus speaks to him about the Torah, and he said, "But I have kept all these commandments. I'm a law-abiding person. I have followed the Torah." He is the excellent person that we meet in the business of religion who keeps all the laws and believes that he can merit heaven. "What must I do? Is there something else I have to do to gain heaven? Because I must merit heaven." I grew up with that when I was a kid. You keep all the commandments and live a perfect life and don't sin and then you'll go to heaven. You break the commandments, go down, you're gone, baby. There's no chance. So this man lives on a meritorious gospel. And Jesus said, "Only the poor can enter the kingdom of God." Doesn't have anything to do with money. He says, "But God, for God, all things are possible." Who is it that responds to Jesus in the Gospels? The leper, the poor, the struggling, the lost, the people who have questions, they are the only ones that find Jesus. The religious observant people resist Jesus. The Pharisees, who keep all the laws, they're a merit-based religion. They don't find Jesus. And this man has everything except he does not have relationship. That's what's missing from his life. There's a metaphor here, of course. This is much more than just what appears on the surface. And the metaphor is that to enter the kingdom of God, we have to be, what the gift we have to share is our poverty. It's your humanity. It's the struggles you have in your life. It's not your power. It's not your money. It's not your success. It's not even your keeping the law. It's relationship with Jesus Christ. It's relationship with one another. That's the metaphor. It's very strong. It's only in relationship that we experience the kingdom of God. Not in dominance, not in power, not even in keeping the laws. I'm not disbanding keeping the law. That's very important because it's lifestyle, it's an orderly lifestyle. But it's not enough. And we'll find that, by the way, in tomorrow's gospel. I'm doing the early mass tomorrow. But tomorrow, Peter comes and says, by the way, we have given up everything. And what are we going to get back? It's a meritorious, it's a trade. It's a trade. I say to God, like, I have made this sacrifice and I have done this and I've kept all the law. Now, what am I going to get back? Jesus says, it's when you have nothing to offer. It's when you're impoverished and you're broken and you're empty and you're the leper and you're the sinner. Only then can you experience the wonder of God's love for you. Not when you're powerful and rich and so. You enter the kingdom of God not because you earn it, but because you are loved into the kingdom of God by the infinite love of God. That's the metaphor here. It's important to keep the law. Keeping the law is a sign of order in my life. It's a sign of dignity. It's a sign of elevated lifestyle in humanity. But there's more to it. It's not just keeping the law. It's relationship. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We just happen to experience Jesus Christ in the Catholic Church, in the Eucharist, in the proclamation of God's Word. We are not following the Church. We're following Jesus Christ. We're following a relationship with Jesus Christ. It so happens that the vessel in which we experience the relationship is in a community we call church. Now, that's very important. Because you can fall in love with the church, but overlook Jesus Christ. You can keep all the laws, but you don't touch the fringes of an interpersonal relationship with the Lord. That's what really counts. And that's very important when we get into Lent. You know, we're getting into Lent here. We're going to make sacrifices, and I'm going to give up this, and I'm going to give up that, and then we're going to be miserable to live with. Or I'm going to tell everybody, let me tell you what I'm doing for Lent. Relationship with Jesus Christ, whatever sacrifice you make has to be the avenue to bring your life closer to Jesus Christ. That's the teaching of this gospel here. So when we are anticipating Lent, Lent is a time to elevate our vision and to touch the fringes of the person of Jesus Christ, to begin to experience the Lord. And we'll do that, by the way, not only in prayer and so forth, but we'll experience the Lord in other people, in the struggling people, the people who need forgiveness, the people who need to be included, the people who feel left out. See the face of Jesus Christ in the people who are struggling, who feel neglected, who feel excluded, see the presence of Christ. That's Lent. Lent is a journey with Jesus Christ. Sacrifices are an instrument that somehow leads us closer to a relationship with the Lord. So watch the scriptures here coming up. We have a follow-up of this tomorrow, and then we'll begin the season of Lent. And next Sunday we have Jesus entering into the desert, led by the Spirit, to be tested, to show that the power of Jesus Christ overcomes the world. And when we follow Jesus Christ, we overcome the world, not by keeping a law, but by binding ourselves in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful possibility. It brings Lent into focus and makes Lent meaningful. I walk with the Lord. Got this sense that I'm in God's presence. I'm always in God's presence. And feel the presence of God. Not because I'm keeping a law, but because I have a relationship. I carry the Lord. That's the journey we've spoken about here today. Amen. We pause now for a moment of prayer. Pray for the people of Ukraine. I mean, the profanity of war, the futility of violence, the sense of greed and dominance. I mean, we can see it so flagrantly in the war in the Ukraine, and yet we have to have a personal touch with this. Because we all get caught in being in charge and dominant and making decisions and getting people to agree with us. So pray for the people of Ukraine. We must bind ourselves. I do believe that we should really journey through today and make some special sacrifice to unite ourselves with the people of Ukraine. It won't make much difference to the people in Ukraine. It will make a difference in my life. That I offered something up, made a sacrifice, blessed somebody in the name of the people of the Ukraine. We'll carry them in prayer. In the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen.